Good morning, Keystone. How you doing this morning? Good to see you. I hope your summer is good. Is your summer interesting? Like, what's the most interesting thing that's happened to you this summer? Hopefully that doesn't distract you too much, but if you lived in Atlanta on July 9th and you were on a certain highway, what happened there would have been the most interesting thing that happened to you in the summer. This is from the New York Times. On Tuesday, July 9th, on an Atlanta highway, the side door of an armored truck suddenly opened and spilled onto the highway an estimated $175,000. Told you. New York Times reports that more than a dozen commuters screeched to a halt or veered off the shoulder of the highway. They scooped up bills from the pavement and returned to their vehicles with fistfuls and sometimes armloads of cash. Randall Lewis, an Uber Eats driver, was one of those people. I just saw a cloud full of what looked like lease. He said, no, it was money. I could not believe my eyes. I'm not gonna lie, the first thing I did was pulled over and started picking up some money. Within minutes, Mr. Lewis said he had snatched up about $2,000 in singles, 50s, and hundreds. He returned $2,094 the next day. That was not the case with everyone. Sergeant Robert Parsons said, if the temptation is there and you see money falling from the sky, most people would probably take the money. Parsons said, by the time officers arrived, people who had pulled over to grab the loot were nowhere to be seen. Well, what Randall Lewis did returning $2,094 was the right thing to do. It was the righteous thing to do. Today we're going to consider righteousness. Now, righteousness is probably one of those words that you expect to hear coming to church. Maybe it's first time at Keystone. You're walking and someone says, hey, they're gonna talk about righteousness today. And you're like, yeah, sounds like a church word, right? Like you come to church, you think, there's probably the top 10 words I'm gonna hear. Righteousness is probably one of those words. Well, we're gonna hear about that word today. We're gonna talk about righteousness. R.C. Sproul, theologian from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, by the way, shameless plug. R.C. Sproul defines righteousness like this. He says, righteousness is doing what is right in the sight of God. Another theologian, Bruce Waltke, says, wisdom, talking about righteousness in the book of Proverbs especially, says, wisdom needs righteousness. If wisdom is spiritual intelligence, then righteousness is right behavior. In Proverbs, if a person is wise, he or she is righteous. If they are righteous, then they are wise. So, this series, Wise Words, that we've been in the book of Proverbs, and if you're new, we've been going through the book of Proverbs this summer, and here's something. This series has given us a lot of righteous homework, how to do the right thing in the sight of God. We've had a lot of righteous homework, haven't we? If you've been here over the course of the summer, like how to be righteous as a mother, as it relates to the poor and the needy, as a father, with your anger, in your work, as it relates to being honest, in your friendships, with humility, related to sex and marriage, and with your money. It's so easy, right? No, it's hard. Being righteous, doing what is right in the sight of God is hard. Because for every time we act like Randall Lewis and return $2,094 and do the righteous thing, there are plenty of times we act like the scores of other people in that story who, and as it were, we return to our vehicles with fistfuls and sometimes armloads of money. I wonder, what opportunities did you miss this week to act righteously? Maybe you come in here this morning in the Keystone, you're feeling pretty good about your week, but I wonder if we were to pick a little in your life, if you were to pick a little in my life, where have you missed an opportunity to do the right thing in the sight of God? At your job, with your spouse, with your children, with a friend, giving in to some temptation. And it gets worse because sometimes we can live righteously, but sometimes we can deceive ourselves thinking, I am righteous. I am living rightly. And Proverbs warns us in Proverbs 16, 18, that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. So man, this thing of righteousness, doing what is right in the sight of God, it can be hard. I like how Proverbs talks about righteousness. It uses the idea of a way. A way. Isn't that so helpful? We use that all the time. I thought about how many times I use that. One way, my way, your way, pathway, right way, wrong way, I'm not done, way off, way out, this way, that way, no way, yes way, I'll make a way, I should have gone the other way, I've lost my way. A way. A way is something we talk about a lot. Parking lots are like this, aren't they? Parking lots are laboratories of wrong way-ism, aren't they? Think about the parking lots where the parking spots are like this instead of like this. Have you had a deal with that guy this week who, when it's like this, he goes the wrong way down that aisle? Like, none of the rules apply to him. And maybe you are that person. The rest of us are ticked off at you, right? And that person sees a good spot and they have to turn their car completely the wrong way around. And you're like, dude, it's the wrong way. Or the guy who thinks his car is so valuable, he parks it across two parking spots. You ever seen? Fortunately, they're usually out in the back of the lot because they love their car so much. But in your flesh, don't you just want to like take a key and right up the side? Like, dude, that's what you deserve. You're driving a Nissan, bro. How about the guy in the big trick pickup truck? You know who you are. And you have the hitch hanging out the back and you can only pull that thing in. It doesn't even fit in the parking spot. Your truck is so big. And so there's like 3 or 4 feet sticking out into where everyone else needs to drive and walk because you have to have that big truck. Hit my leg on the hitch walking past. Man. Parking lots, right? There's just a lot of wrong way stuff goes on in parking lots. A way. Proverbs distills ways of righteousness. So together we're asking ourselves today, which righteousness is really a question of which way? Think about that with me. Proverbs is asking us which way? So when it comes to the question of which righteousness, we're gonna look at how Proverbs distills righteousness. Proverbs talks about it in terms of a way. So there's gonna be some things maybe you wanna write down, some scripture passages you wanna follow along as we jump into the book. Several ways of righteousness we're gonna consider together. And these are, which righteousness are you going to embrace? Which way? First, self-righteousness, which is my way. It's my favorite one. Self-righteousness is my way. Proverbs 14, 12. Notice, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. Proverbs 16, 25. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. Some of you are like, hey, Matt, I know it's early, but I think you just read the same verse twice. Well, apparently this message is so important that in Proverbs 14, 12 and Proverbs 16, 25 are the same verse. That there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. It's an identical verse. Self-righteousness is my way. Self-righteousness, did you notice there in 14:12 and 16:25? Self-righteousness often starts with a seem, S-E-E-M. There is a way that seems right to me. There is a way that seems right. This seems like the right thing to do. This is the right way. It seems okay. It seems like what I should do. Did you ever say that? Self-righteousness very often starts with a seam. I love what Proverbs 12, 15 says. The fool believes that his own plans and ideas are perfect or right. He is satisfied with his own opinions. Seems right to me. Self-righteousness, my way, Proverbs warns us, often starts with a seam. Trevin Wax writes, self-righteousness wears many disguises. The scary thing is that we usually don't recognize it in ourselves. Because of our religious practices, we're okay with God. Because of how we pray, we are trusting him, not in ourselves. We think because of how we live that we're doing better than the people around us. Self-righteousness stinks. Unfortunately, we are the last ones to smell it ourselves. Self-righteousness very often starts with a seems. It seems right to me. My way seems okay. It's interesting in Proverbs in several places. Proverbs 11, 14, Proverbs 15, 22, Proverbs 24, 6. There's a phrase used variously in translations that there's safety in an abundance of counselors. Safety in an abundance of counselors. The best thing you can do, the best thing I can do with my seams, that seems right to me. The best thing I can do with that is test my seams. Test your seams in an abundance of counselors, the Bible says. There's safety there. Self-righteousness starts with a seams. With seams. I wonder, what are you living with today because of some untested seam in your life? Seemed right to me. Back then, I thought it was okay. Some of you here are parents of young children, and you have the car seat thing going on. And multiple kids means multiple seats. And man, they're strapped in there like an amusement park ride. There's seats, there's no room for anybody because of all those seats, right? I've been there. And I remember early in life, we had a little Toyota Corolla. I never cared if anybody hit that car in a parking lot. But anyway, Toyota Corolla and two kids in the back seat. There was nowhere to put anything on trips. And one year we were going home for Thanksgiving and I decided to buy a rooftop carrier to store extra luggage. Doesn't that sound like a great idea? Seemed right to me. Only the car didn't have a luggage rack. But I found this one that was like, you don't need a luggage rack. Yes, that's what I need. Bought it, clipped it on there. Felt secure, seemed right to me. My wife, who often tests my seams, says, do you think, right? Listen to that person. Do you think it'll be okay? I think it'll be okay. We got out on Interstate 71 going north in Ohio, 70 miles an hour, home for the holidays, poof, off the car. Comes the entire roof rack. All I saw behind me was a guy in a Mercedes. Testing the suspension, which thankfully worked. Back I went, picked that up, shoved the entire thing in between my children and their car seats. You've been there because your seam is untested. I mean, some of those stories are really funny, but the fact of the matter is that self-righteousness comes and starts with, very often, a seam. I wonder, in what ways might self-righteousness, your way, my way, be threatening the areas of life that we've been talking about in this entire series, wise words in Proverbs? Mom, how you doing with self-righteousness? Dad, where does it seem like your way is okay, but that's totally untested? How you relate to the poor and needy with your anger, in your work, as it relates to honesty, as a friend, with pride, as it relates to sex and marriage, with your money. Proverbs says there's a way that seems right. Which way? Which righteousness? Seems right to me. I wonder today, Keystone friend, are you questioning your seams in the context of a spiritual family? Are you considering, am I considering the consequences of self-righteous living? This is what James says in the New Testament. He writes, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. What? Deceiving yourself. Self-righteousness is deceptive. So, which way, which righteousness? The first thing that Proverbs tells us is there's a righteousness that is driven by self, full of untested seams. It seems right to me. The consequences of that can be destruction. Which righteousness, which way? Self-righteousness is my way. The second kind of righteousness that is talked about in Proverbs is unrighteousness, which you look sharp this morning. You're like, isn't self-righteousness unrighteousness? Yes, but Proverbs drilled down a little more on self-righteousness, so I thought it was important to talk about that. But more broadly, the book of Proverbs talks about unrighteousness. This is the wrong way. And self-righteousness, my way, is the wrong way. But let's broaden that to talk about unrighteousness, as Proverbs does. Self-righteousness is my way. Unrighteousness is the wrong way. In Proverbs, it's often the word wickedness. Wickedness. Two things to say here about unrighteousness in Proverbs. What about unrighteousness in my destination? So unrighteousness is the wrong way. So what's the destination of unrighteousness? Well, several things. Look at Proverbs 11:5. Notice the destination. My lifestyle's taking me somewhere. The way I live is taking me somewhere. If you're here and you're unrighteous before God, that's taking you somewhere. Maybe that unrighteousness manifests itself in self-righteousness, my way. That's taking you somewhere. If I am living in unrighteousness, I'm headed a direction. What is the destination of unrighteousness? Proverbs is pretty clear about this. Proverbs 11:5, the righteousness of the blameless keeps his way straight, but the wicked falls by his own wickedness. You will fall in unrighteousness. I will fall. A couple other verses, these won't be on the screen, but reinforces this idea. Listen, Proverbs 13:6, righteousness guards him who is blameless, but sin overthrows the wicked. That's a destination of unrighteousness. Proverbs 26:26, though his hatred be covered with deception, his wickedness will be exposed in the assembly. Here, friends, listen, here's three words to describe the destination of unrighteousness: falls, overthrows, and is exposed. Unrighteousness comes with a destination. My lifestyle will take me somewhere. And the writer of Proverbs paints a picture of unrighteousness, very often called wickedness in the book of Proverbs. And that destination is one of destruction. On the authority of God's word, it's pretty clear, it's pretty easy to say this morning that unrighteousness is the wrong way. Look no further than the destination. When you go a little bit deeper though, not just unrighteousness and my destination, how about unrighteousness and my identity? How is it that unrighteousness is leading me to destruction? Well, it says something about who I am. And here's where the Bible provides context for the book of Proverbs. The Bible's broader context about unrighteousness is this. Romans 3:10 says, no one is righteous, not even one. No one is righteous, not even one. Now, we may be like the guy who gave back the $2,094, and maybe you came in this morning thinking, I'm feeling pretty, it's been a good week, Matt. I read my Bible every day. You are so righteous. I am so righteous, right? Sometimes it's easy to feel that way. But here's what the Bible says. That righteous can't earn us a place with God. We are all unrighteous. This wickedness that Proverbs talks about, that is the way of destruction, our destination. Man, the Bible, providing context on Proverbs, says there is no one who is righteous. Unrighteousness is the wrong way. Here's the really bad news about the wrong way. We're all headed that direction. Left to ourselves, we may have shining moments. I gave back $2,094. That act doesn't make me righteous. It's a tough picture. No one is righteous, not even one. A lot of time in pastor world, that's where I live, pastor world. It's a weird world. There's these conferences come up and some quote unquote famous pastor is on the kind of the literature online or whatever as the person who's gonna be speaking. And many times in those bios, maybe you've seen this in your line of work too, it tells a little bit about that pastor's personal life, and it reveals things about him about, so-and-so, we'll use a guy for example, he's married to his incredibly beautiful wife, and they have two amazing children. You ever seen these? And they have a picture there, and they're perfect. Their teeth are perfect. They're positioned perfect. They're on like a fence row on someone's perfect farm. And you're like, of course this guy's speaking. He's perfect. And he's got amazing children. I think my kids are awesome. But man, they are unrighteous. It strikes me as I was thinking about this, no one names their kid righteous. You ever think about that? And some of you are like, I'm going to Google that right now. Hey, there's this guy in Florida, little daughter, righteous. I know maybe there is someone. But generally, right? And some of you are like, I'm the parent of a two-year-old. I am thinking about unrighteous right now, right? But there's probably a reason that no one names their kid righteous. Because as amazing as my kids are, man, it has been an unrighteous journey sometimes. And my kids will look at me and say, yeah, you're not so righteous yourself, Dad. It's been an unrighteous journey with you. Guess what? The Bible doesn't hide that. The Bible explains that. The Bible says, left to ourselves, what we see reflected in Proverbs, a life that will lead to destruction, is a life that all of us know because by our nature, by our deeds, we are sinners. We are unrighteous. We are going the wrong way. But I gave back $2,094. I could have stolen it. I know. That's not saving anybody. Because some days I take fistfuls, sometimes armloads of cash, even though I know it's wrong. Unrighteousness is the wrong way. Its destination is destruction. It's my identity. There is no one who is righteous, not one. What are we gonna do? Well, here's the third righteousness, the third way. It is righteousness. It is God's way. God is calling you to righteousness. How does that sound to you this morning? Bible says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Maybe you're here, and maybe when you think about unrighteousness, you're in ignorance. Maybe you sit here today thinking, man, I've never thought about the fact that I'm confronted by my own unrighteousness, but the Bible exposed me. Maybe when it comes to unrighteousness today, your heart's hard. Maybe as it were, you shake your fist in God's face and say, you're not getting after my life, God. I'm not giving that up. Maybe when you hear you're unrighteous, maybe when I hear I'm unrighteous, maybe it's not ignorance, maybe it's hardness of heart. Maybe this morning when God is calling you, out of unrighteousness. He's calling you out of brokenness. Maybe you say, hey, Matt, man, I know I'm unrighteous. I walked into this church today and my life is so broken. What do I do? Where are you with that? With the fact that we are going the wrong way in unrighteousness. Because Proverbs says God is calling us to righteousness. This is God's way. Psalm 84:14 says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of God's throne. We don't declare what is right and wrong. God's very character is the standard of what is right and wrong. God is calling us to righteousness. So we said that unrighteousness has a destination and an identity. Let's talk about righteousness. What is the destination of righteousness? Notice Proverbs 12:28, in the path of righteousness is life. In the path of righteousness is life, and in its pathway there is no death. What a contrast, friends. Listen, unrighteousness the wrong way, the destination is destruction. If you're here this morning in the hardness of your heart or in brokenness, let go of that unrighteousness. Run to God, who is the righteous one. God says in righteousness, God's way, it's life. In that path, there is no death. It's God's way. It's the right way. That's my destination in God's righteousness. Notice, what about my identity? Well, we said, if I am to be righteous, I must be made righteous. What does the Word of God teach us about unrighteousness? Casting commentary on Proverbs, it says, all of us are in righteousness. This destination of destruction, we're all headed that direction. God, how can I be made righteous then? 1 Peter 3:18 in the New Testament, Peter writes this, for Christ also suffered once for sins. Notice this, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. How is righteousness my identity? Well, I have to be made righteous. In the power of Jesus' righteousness, I am to seek and pursue that kind of life, that kind of righteousness. If I'm going to be righteous, I must be made righteous. If you're here this morning and before God, you say, man, I understand the weight of my sin. We can't make ourselves righteous. We need the righteousness of Christ. And then in the power of that righteousness, we seek and pursue it inwardly. Proverbs 8:20 says, I walk in the way of righteousness. And then outwardly. Notice what Proverbs 14:34 says. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. If this morning you come in and you want to know the righteousness of Christ, understand there is a God who loved us enough that he sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. And became unrighteousness for us that we might know his righteousness. Friend, if you haven't heard that message, that's the message of Jesus. That's God's way. Put your faith in him. Repent of sin. Keystone friend, if you're here, I wonder if you're marked by the righteousness of Christ, if he has done that work in your life, are you someone who seeks and pursues righteousness inwardly? God, I want to walk in the way of righteousness. And outwardly, righteousness exalts a nation. It's not just personal, it's corporate. One of the things I first asked when I moved to Iowa was where is my mailbox? Where's my mailbox? In Pennsylvania, you have a mailbox in front of your house. The delivery person drops the mail off. You go to your mailbox. You don't have to talk to anybody. It's right at your house. It's awesome. I moved here, and I found out about something called cluster mailboxes. I have to walk like 100 yards to get my mail. Not only that, I may have to talk to somebody at the cluster box. And for those who are introverts, right? Like, oh, man. Can't I just like reach out the door and grab my mail and go back in? What if another guy is checking his mail at the cluster mailbox? That cluster mailbox has been so good for me. Because every day I take my little key and I walk up the street to open my mailbox. You know, and I stand in front of that fry, number two. On that mailbox is a slate of other numbers with neighbors or soon to be neighbors. Every time I check my mail, I'm reminded of something. There are people around me who have needs, who need to know about the righteousness of Jesus, who are lost in unrighteousness, in self-righteousness. I wonder, Keystone friend, are you seeking and pursuing righteousness? Righteousness exalts a nation. Sometimes we see righteousness only through the lens of politics when it comes to that, right? Man, it's so much bigger than that. Which righteousness? Which way? Don't be deceived by self-righteousness. Your way, my way. Don't be destroyed by unrighteousness, which is the wrong way. There is no one who is righteous, not even one. If we are to be righteous, we must be made righteous. Jesus, the one who knew no sin, became sin for our sake, for my sake, for your sake, that we might become the righteousness of God. Friend, if you're here and you've never heard that message, repent of your sin today. Trust Jesus, God's way to righteousness. Keystone, brothers and sisters, in the power of Jesus' righteousness, seek and pursue righteous living. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we find ourselves, I'm sure, in different places here this morning. There are some who have come in satisfied in a self-righteousness, their way. Lord, today I pray you would chip away at that heart. Lord, destroy that in any of us. It is so insidious. God, I pray for any here this morning who are confronted today with their own unrighteousness, that none of us are righteous before you. Lord, if there's one whose heart is hardened in that, or God, if there's one who is broken in that, I pray you would draw them to yourself. May they see the righteousness of Christ as the only answer to the unrighteousness of their life. Thank you for Jesus. Lord, those of us who are righteous because of Jesus, who have put our trust in him, we have work to do to seek and pursue that life. God, I pray we would be the agents of change in our community, that we would seek and pursue a righteousness in the power of Christ that would transform our families and our communities, our schools. God, make us those people. Lord, thank you for Jesus, the one who knew no sin but became sin for us. We love you for sending him to us. It's in his good name we pray. Amen.